side? Yeah. It's that silence. Everyone's like, whoa. No pressure, no pressure. Can you all hear me? Pardon? Who said that? Good morning. It's good to be here. I'm going to get straight into the message today because I'm not entirely sure how long it's going to take, if I'm honest. Don't worry, I'm pretty sure your roast dinners will be okay if you're having a roast dinner. And I'm not entirely sure how this is going to come across. I had a clear word to share, but I'm not sure how clear it's going to come out. So bear with me and we'll see how we go. So if you can get your Bibles out or your apps, that would be good. The words are going to come up on the screen, but can I encourage you to get hold of your Bible, open your Bible and have a look. Try and follow it in your Bible. If not, it's on the screens. That's not a problem. We're going to go to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 26 through to 31. So when we're all ready, I'll begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It's nice to hear the rustling of paper. A bit old-fashioned like that. Corinthians 1, 26. Are you there? Good lad. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. God calls ordinary people to become extraordinary with and through him.
Amen.
I'm just going to show you a clip, because now we've got the apple. Things like this should work.
For me and the Lord, we've got an understanding. We're on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God. This is a lot bigger than any domestic problems you might be experiencing.
Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matthew to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
We're on a mission from God.
Hit it.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yep.
Now I know that's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but that message is applicable to us all. We are on a mission from God. You and me, we're on a mission from God. The trouble is, some of us don't realise it. Or, if we do realise it, but we think we can't do it. It's not for us. And it's because of that, the title of my message this morning is, Who? Me? Can you remember a time in your life when you've been singled out? Might have been in a classroom, workplace, even church. I've had that a few times. One particular incident springs to mind. A number of years back, probably about 8 years back, I went to a Christian conference in Morecambe. I knew one person there and sat at the back, deliberately. Sat right at the back, right in the corner. Probably where Isaiah is, that sort of position, as far away and trying to get out of eye line, everything like that. And there was a lady speaking called Rachel Hickson. some of you might have heard her. She's wrote quite a few books, and she's got a really good ministry in the prophetic. So at some point during the session, there was worship, there's all sorts of stuff. She began to prophesy over people, just picking people out. Now, I'm sat at the back, minding my own business. I'm quite happy doing that at that point. And then suddenly, the finger comes and she points right at me. So naturally, what do? You look to the left, you look to the right, then you look behind, and there's nobody behind me. And she's pointing at me, and you're like, who? Me? Not me. But she was. And she went on to prophesy over me. Now, she went on to prophesy in some detail. I'm not going to go into the full detail of it. Some of you might have heard me say this. But it was about my future, in my role, in my job. Now, as I say, it would take far too long for me to explain the whole thing. But what she prophesied was absolutely spot on. And to this day, I'm still walking in the fruit of what God told me through Rachel that day. But I needed to do something as well. I couldn't just sit there, get prophesied over, and my life would change. I actually needed to take some steps and to push some doors. I left a role that I was in, that I was comfortable in, that I was enjoying, and that I could do quite easily, to some degree, and took on a new role, which I'd never done. And I knew it was going to be challenging, and I knew it was going to be different. It was out of my comfort zone. But I really felt that's where God wanted me to be. Now, anyone who knows what I do and where I'm at, it is right. God has put me in the right place at the right time for the right people. Amen. But I also believe that God equipped me for that. He spoke to me through Rachel. I took the step. I'm in the role. And through some tough times and difficult things, God sustained me. God's held me up. And I'm still going and I'm still fighting. And you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, well, that's great. That's you. It's not me. What could I possibly offer? And you may be sitting there feeling a little bit sorry for yourself, thinking, well, what gifts have I got? What can I possibly offer? What have I got to offer? Well, stop it. Stop thinking like that, because it's wrong. Quite simply, it's wrong. God has chosen you. The verse that I read before, it was God chose, God chose, God chose. And the list of those chosen ones wasn't a list of people, but it wasn't characters who you would automatically think God would choose. It wasn't like that. He was choosing the lowly. He was choosing the weak. 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are told, and this was on the board as you came in, now you are part of the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. You. Yes, you. Single people out, point to people. You are a part of the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. That's each of you, not some of you, not the odd one here and there, each of you. There's no hiding place, doesn't matter where you sit. You can't hide from God. So, going back to what have I got to offer? Each believer has an individual testimony. We should never underestimate the power of our testimony. That's why it's great to hear Isaiah share and other people share things that are happening in their lives. But I'm talking particularly about your testimony of your salvation. I spoke to some people who are quite reluctant to share their testimony because they think it's not very exciting, because it wasn't a big bolt of lightning or big thunderclap and everything changed. Your salvation and your testimony are a gift from God. And they're a gift that you need to share. You have to share it with as many people as possible. It's our task. It's our mission. Like Paul, we want to share the good news of Jesus. So each believer has a gift that we should be compelled to share. We should be bursting out to tell people how our lives have changed. Because it doesn't matter whether it was a bolt of lightning or you took 10 years of a gradual walk to come to Jesus. Your life has been transformed, and people will see that, and people respond to that, and people will be touched by it. For some people, we may only get the opportunity to pass the gift of our testimony on. We might just tell them, and we might never see them again. We might never interact with them again. That's okay. But for others, we might get the chance to pass that gift on and help them to unwrap it and show them how to follow the instruction manual. This. We might get to walk with them on that journey and take them through it. We should be seizing the opportunity to do either of those passionately. Not thinking about ourselves, but thinking only about the mission set before us. I'm sure at some point, I know I have, all felt inadequate and think that we couldn't possibly make a difference. Well, listen to this quote and think again. If you think you are too small to make a difference, try to sleep in a closed room with a mosquito. I'll say that again. If you think you are too small to make a difference, try to sleep in a closed room with a mosquito. There was another good mosquito quote, which I came across while I was researching this. I want to be so full of Christ that if a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing, "There is power in the blood." I thought that was quite good. But I was really struck with the first quote. I'm sure anyone who's been bitten by a mosquito, and I know if Sophia was here, she'll testify to that, because I think she had 46 bites when she went to Brazil, that for something so small, it can have quite an effect. I mean, in certain parts of the world, it can be deadly with malaria. So that's how one tiny little thing can cause such a problem. The good news is that so can you. You can be that mosquito. With the power of Jesus that lives within you, you can help change the world. Now, can I also reassure you that it's not particularly unbiblical to feel inadequate? So, if you do feel inadequate, let me reassure you, you're in really good company. Let's think of Moses. God asks him, a murderer, to go to Pharaoh and ask the Israelites, and ask for the Israelites to be freed from slavery. What does our mighty man of God say? Exodus 4 verse 13 tells us, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." That actually encourages me. Moses was real, and he was afraid, and he wanted someone else to go and do the difficult thing that he was being asked to do. Does that sound... That sounds like something I'd do. I'm just being honest. But what encouraged me even more is that when you read on, we know that Moses did eventually go to Pharaoh and the Israelites were freed. God was with him every step of the way. Gideon. God tells him to go and lead an army and save the Israelites from the Midianites. Does Gideon, our mighty warrior, say, "Yes, Lord, I'm on my way"? Nope. He tells the Lord that he's from the weakest clan. And not only is he from the weakest clan, but he's the weakest in the weakest clan. Gideon then makes numerous requests of God to ensure that it's actually what God wants. He eventually agrees and heads off to battle. Not before God reduces his army from 30,000 to 300. So we have the weakest man from the weakest clan with a tiny army. And what does he do? He emerges victorious with God by his side every step of the way. Jonah. God told him to go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it. Jonah actually ran the other way and hid. Yeah, come on, Jonah. I've felt like that a few times. Jonah eventually went to Nineveh and preached, resulting in Nineveh turning from its evil ways and being spared destruction by God. Again, God was with Jonah every step of the way. The Bible is littered with people who felt inadequate, afraid, and reluctant. Some of the most famous characters in history, and how many of them, when called by God, shouted, "Yes! Amen!" None. They were all human. They were like you and I. They all needed God's help to do the great things that they did. They couldn't have done it without him. Now, I just find it a bit strange that when the enemy comes and tries to rob us of our freedom and tells us, because all them feelings of inadequacy and fear, they're not from God. The enemy's having a go at you. And he's putting all these things in your head. But I just, it messes with my head sometimes. I think how easily we listen to them words and how we take them on so easily. Like Gideon. He was weak and I'm the weakest and I can't do this and I can't do that. And yet God was continually showing him. He kept saying, well, if I leave the fleece this way and if it gets wet. So God kept telling him. But for Gideon, the reality was the voice of the enemy at times was louder than that of the Lord. And it's the same for us. We can get told that the enemy comes in and tells lots of different things and one person might say the truth of what God thinks about us and what God says about us. But for some reason, we find that easier to discount than we do discount the voice of the enemy. There's not a right balance. We cling on to the voice of the enemy and yet we go, oh no, sorry Lord, that can't be right. It should be the other way around. We should be batting off the voice of the enemy and clinging on to the truth, clinging on to what God says about us. But we don't. And it, because of that, it makes it easy for us to discount ourselves. It's too easy. I want to say, how dare we? What right have we got to discount ourselves from any calling? Jesus doesn't, and he never will. Jesus will never discount anybody. Never leave or forsake you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. What upbringing you had. What sins you've committed in the past. What failed relationships you've had. What addictions you've struggled with. Whether you're a mature believer. Whether you're a new believer. God can and will use you. That's the truth. As we've just been reading about certain characters, and there's loads of others, the Bible proves that. Rick Godwin, who's an American preacher, if I could do his drawly accent, I would, but I can't. He says, if God called you to do something, it isn't hard, it's impossible. And this is where he goes all American. Hello. He ain't going to ask you to do anything you can do without him. So we don't even need to go there. God says that without him, we can do nothing. And that sort of goes a little bit against people say, oh, well, God will equip you for what you need. But that sort of, it does tie in as well. He's not going to ask you to do anything you can do under your own steam. Because otherwise, you don't need him. When we do. God calls us to do things that rely that require us to rely on him more, to push in. Good. I can personally testify to that. Many of you are already more than aware that I felt completely inadequate prior to taking on a home group, and then even more so prior to coming on eldership. And to some extent, I still feel inadequate. But the difference now from then is that I know that God has been with me every step of the way. Even when I've been far away, when I've been struggling, when I've been like, I can't do this, God's been there. He's been solid. And the second I take my eyes from me and put them onto him, his mission, when I get my eyes off me, look at him and what he wants me to do, things get a whole lot easier. I couldn't do what I do without God's help. Everyone gets called, but not everyone answers the call. Some pretend they haven't heard, or say they'll wait until they've got more time, or got more money, or the kids have grown up, or whatever. We make excuses. But the danger of making excuses and missing the call is that we miss out on walking on the water with Jesus. We end up safe and secure in the boat. But safe and secure, but we'll be feeling bad that we aren't the ones to experience the thrill of water walking with Jesus. Remember, we're on a mission from God, and sometimes following that mission can be painful. You put yourselves in a firing line. Now, not all callings are sort of out-and-out ministry roles. They're not all up front. Yes, we have leaders, we have preachers, and they're more of a public type of ministry. And that brings its own battles. But others are evangelists by nature, whether street preaching, like Johnny, or spreading the gospel amongst colleagues, school friends, neighbours, etc. You can be rejected and you can be ridiculed. The Bible tells us that. It tells us to expect that. It doesn't make it easy, though, when you're at the receiving end. Now, for some of you, the up-and-coming family fun day at the Arncliffe may fill you with fear. If you volunteered to be part of that, you might actually be afraid. Great. That's a good place to be. Remember all our heroes in the Bible? All were afraid, but all went on to experience the exhilaration of being part of God's big plan. And believe me, getting out into the local community, showing the love of Jesus to our neighbours, is very much a part of God's big plan. It really is an opportunity for us to boast in the Lord. Think about Steph. She answered a call from God. She was unsure. She felt inadequate and nervous. But she was obedient. And she went to Africa. As we know, she then went through incredible physical pain as a result of her accident. But, big but, she has also felt that exhilaration of knowing that she is right in the centre of God's will for her life. She has learnt that the safest place to be is in the centre of God's will. I, for one, am really looking forward to hearing her story when she's well enough to stand here and speak to us again.
Amen.
Fear of failure, whether that's due to past failures or disappointments with people, with church, with leadership, with relationships, with family, or whatever. Sorry, guys, that's not a good enough reason to do nothing with the gift that God has given you. It's just not. I'm going to read Matthew 25, 14 to 30. I think it will be up on the screens, but I'm just going to read through it. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, you might not believe this, but God has placed gold or talents, gifts, in each of you to varying degrees. But do you want to be like the man in that parable who hid the talent he had because of fear, because of ignorance? He upset his master, and he was called wicked, lazy servant. Do you want weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, no, I don't. I'm sure we all want to be like the others and be called good and faithful servants. God wants us to be obedient. He doesn't mind if we get things wrong. He doesn't mind if we make mistakes. He knows we are not perfect. We don't need to be, because he is. But what he does mind is if we choose to do nothing with what we have. Choose to do nothing. If we sit on it, if we bury it, we leave it in the cupboard, put it in a hole in the garden, just leave it suppressed. That's not acceptable. So next time you're singled out with a calling from God, and you say to yourself, "Who? Me?" And you're looking around, remember that you have the ability through Christ to change the world. Mother Teresa once said, "If you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one." We have the chance to change the world one person at a time. So we are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So you, yes, you and me, we are on a mission from God. Thank you.